So the announcement came out, what, 2 days ago? The press release from LSU came out. LSU's Center for Energy Studies Executive Director and Professor David E. Dismukes has announced that he'll retire effective January 13th. In his stead is Associate Professor Greg Upton, who joins us now. He's going to be the Interim Executive Director. Dr. Upton, good morning. Welcome back to Talk 107.3. How are you, man?
Doing great. How are you, Brian?
Doing very well this morning. Okay, let's start with the gig itself and moving into it. As the interim director, are you automatically trying to toss your name in to be the permanent executive director?
Yeah, so when David announced that he was going to retire about a month ago, kind of internally before it went public, I talked with LSU's administration and told them that I was interested in the position, not only in an interim sense, but also permanently. But typically what happens is that there's an interim for some time period, and then the university will go through some kind of search process before a permanent executive director is named. So I'll be here for the time being, and we'll see what happens, but I'm hopeful.
The Center for Energy Studies, for those unfamiliar, walk us through a little bit about what y'all do.
Sure. So the center, we have a very rich history in that we were created in the early 1980s by the legislature directly. And to give a little historical context, if you go back to the 1970s, early 1980s, more than 40% of the state's direct revenues came from oil and gas. And that was just severance taxes for oil and gas produced, as well as mineral revenues from oil and gas produced on state lands and water bottoms. And what legislators who were there at the time told me is that you had these different groups coming down to the legislature. And at some point, they said, look, all of these different stories just can't simultaneously be true. We just have to get some, kind of what are the facts and what is the evidence on these topics. And so at the time, they created the Center for Energy Studies, and they housed it at LSU in order to give those academic protections. And that's really what we do. We research what's going on in Louisiana at the intersection of the energy sector, the economy here in Louisiana, and the environment. And, of course, the specific issues over time have really changed. But that mission has stayed constant over the last four decades.
The mission has stayed constant as much as the markets themselves and the nature of where we get our energy from has fluctuated. What are we in store for in 2023? I mean, last year was ridiculous when it came to gas prices. Last year was ridiculous when it came to really the price of any level of energy consumption. What are we looking at this year?
So the good news with prices is that right now markets are actually thinking that prices are going to settle down a little bit and actually even go down over the next year or so. And so to get a little bit of, again, historical context of why we're in the high price situation we saw this last year. Mm-hmm. First, of course, we had the COVID-19 pandemic. A demand for transportation was reduced almost instantly. And what happened was is oil and gas wells that were producing, they just continued to produce, of course. And so companies just stopped drilling altogether. When demand started to come back, companies were trying to time when the supply would come back at the same time as demand, and this kind of put upward pressure on prices. Prices were anticipated to go down actually over 2022, but then, of course, in February, Russia invaded Ukraine. Russia is the second largest producer of natural gas globally, and before this recent invasion, they were about tied for the second, third largest producer of oil globally. So again, this really disrupted markets globally, led to increases in prices. And so as you and I can see, whenever we go fill up our vehicle at the gas station, prices have really come down, but they're anticipated to go down maybe 20, 30 cents a gallon more over the next year or so.
Why are they anticipated to go down over the next year? I mean, if the crisis with the war with Ukraine and Russia is still going on,
sure.
What would cause the downturn in prices?
So companies are responding to that. So whenever you have higher prices, companies start drilling more. Also, the supply chain constraints of where oil was coming from, what refinery was going to refine that. In the short run, whenever you take some oil off the global market, it's costly for companies to respond to that in the short run. And so a lot of those kind of frictions that we've seen, first with the pandemic, and now with the Russian invasion of Ukraine, as time progresses, those frictions will kind of naturally subside. And so in the long run, analysts might think The price of oil might be $60 a barrel, something like that in the long run, you know, once all these frictions are gone.
Greg Upton, the new interim executive director for LSU's Center for Energy Studies, is our guest. Greg, I got to ask him, are they – okay, this is going to sound weird when I say it, but are prices where they should be, though? I mean, they still feel high for us, but considering everything else going on, are they high, or is this about where it should be with everything factored in?
Yes, I mean, there's a lot of factors that are going on. The thing I tell people here in the Gulf Coast region is that if you look at prices globally, we are actually in a really, really good position here. I mean, Europe was paying almost 10 times as much for natural gas this last winter as we were. You know, prices for people's just home utilities during the winter this last year, and depending upon where you were in Europe, were up 250-300% in those kind of ranges. And so, of course, you know, we definitely had increases in prices, and it's definitely impacted us here. But we've been a bit insulated from these global factors because of the fact that we are a large producer of oil and natural gas, and we have that infrastructure here in our region. And so, you know, I think that some of those frictions are definitely still out there, both the pandemic-induced frictions as well as the supply chain with the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Mm-hmm. But I think that prices will probably settle down a little bit, go down a little bit more over the next year, but probably not that much. I think most of those frictions have been accounted for in the market, and we're probably about where those prices are going to end up.
Okay, so that covers it from the consumer end. What about from the production end? The first 2 years of the Biden administration have not looked too good for those that are looking for new leases or those that are looking to continue drilling. Where are we heading in 2023?
Yeah, so again, a bit of historical context. Go back to pre-2014. Louisiana was employing 50,000 people in the upstream oil and gas extraction and services sectors. Then we had, of course, the 2015 price crash, and we lost almost 20,000 of those jobs. That's really crazy to think about. And while the U.S. economy was still expanding, this actually put Louisiana into a little bit of a recession. Then prices stabilized, employment stabilized, but did not come back anywhere near to the pre-2014 price crash time period. And then, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Mm-hmm. We lose another about 9,000 jobs over that time period. So this just really, really negatively impacted those industries. Today, that upstream oil and gas extraction and services, and that's what you think about people, you know, drilling holes in the ground and producing those hydrocarbons, is about half the size it was just a decade ago. The kind of relatively good news is that we're forecasting that those sectors will gain about 3,500 jobs over this upcoming year. And really the reason for that is these relatively high prices we've seen. Mm-hmm. Companies have responded to that. The other part of the sector that we look at is what we call the refining and chemical manufacturing. So those are the companies that take those hydrocarbons that are produced and manufacture those into products that you and I use every day. So think about liquid fuels such as gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. You can also think about plastics, chemicals, fertilizers, all those kind of things. And that sector has actually seen a decade of growth over this last decade. And the reason for that, ironically, was because we had those low hydrocarbon prices that created a comparative advantage for those sectors that are purchasing those and selling those products all over the world. So refining and chemicals, they did lose about 2,000 jobs during the pandemic. Of course, you know, the pandemic impacted all sectors. Mm-hmm. But those jobs are coming back, and we're forecasting that we'll gain those pandemic jobs back over the next year or so, and then there's more growth potential from there.
When it comes to the growth potential, I would imagine some of that would involve new leases. Do we know what the Interior Department's plan is yet for this year?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there's a long saga of what happened with offshore leasing. It's actually covered in our Gulf Coast Energy Outlook you can find on our website. But essentially what happened is the Biden administration, whenever Joe Biden was elected, he came out and paused all leases on federal lands and waters while a comprehensive review of leasing practices was conducted. This ended up canceling lease sales. The companies and the states sued the federal government, and this went back and forth in the courts. the kind of good news for that part of the industry is that when the Inflation Reduction Act was passed and signed by President Biden, one of the provisions in that was that the federal government had to continue those lease sales for the next 10 years. And so that's something that I think is a part of the Inflation Reduction Act. It isn't discussed a lot, isn't probably well known, but that was enormously good news for the oil and gas extraction industry here in Louisiana. So our forecast for the employment in those sectors assumes that that leasing is going to continue in kind of a business as usual fashion because of the passage of the Inflation Reduction Act.
Got a couple minutes left with the interim executive director for LSU's Center for Energy Studies, Greg Upton. Greg, let's see if we can kind of encapsulate all the alternative energies out there as well. Where are we at with wind in Louisiana, wind leases as well? Where are we at with wind in Louisiana, solar? Are all these things continuing to advance and grow in popularity and usage?
Absolutely. So the big, exciting growth potential, I think, in 2023 is really solar energy. We have over 12,000 megawatts of solar capacity in what we call the interconnection queue. So these are projects that are being planned right now in Louisiana. And that is an enormous, enormous amount of power. That's going to be several hundred utility-scale solar projects that are currently being planned in the state. So in terms of the next year, 2 years, I think utility-scale solar is going to be where the big growth is. There are also a handful of utility-scale wind projects offshore in the Gulf of Mexico that are currently being planned. Offshore wind is also very exciting in that an individual project produces way more power than your typical utility-scale solar project. But there are a lot more engineering challenges associated with offshore wind right now. And so I'm thinking that it'll probably be 2024, 2025, at kind of the earliest before one of these utility-scale wind projects will get underway. The third big bucket of exciting projects in terms of reducing the carbon emissions of our state is really carbon capture and storage. And so a lot of these industrial facilities now are trying to find ways to capture the carbon dioxide emissions that come out of those facilities. And so there are a lot of projects being planned in order to literally drill a well into the ground and pump that carbon dioxide permanently and store it underground. So there's an enormous amount of activity going on in those three areas. And, of course, that's going to create a lot of construction jobs and economic benefits in the interim for the state.
Okay, so that is a good time for me to ask you to come back on in the very near future because I want to do a whole segment just on that. There are so many unanswered questions and a lot of folks in the public with concerns about it. Can we get you back on in the near future to talk specifically about carbon capture?
Anytime, Brian.
Absolutely. He is Greg Upton, CES Associate Professor. Well, now the Interim Executive Director over at the Center for Energy Studies. Greg, we always appreciate the time, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.